Hey guys, what's going on? It's Josh, JCL Felto for the Writer's Lens, and this is going to be episode 29, which is titled, People Are Always Looking to Take Advantage of Your Dreams. So this is a kind of a cynical episode, I think, all things considered, but I think it's very pertinent to all the entrepreneurs out there, creative folks, people trying to write books and kind of follow their passions. Because this is one thing that I've had to learn the hard way in many instances, and even after I've learned it, I feel like I have to keep relearning it all the time. And I think some of it's just my personality, and other parts of it is just trying not to be taken advantage of, essentially, by somebody else out to kind of piggyback off of what I'm trying to do with my own dreams. So I want to start this one off with a story about something that happened very recently, and this is only the 2nd of April, 2018, as I'm doing this episode. And it was last Friday, so it was the end of the month in March, and I got a phone call from a so-called publisher out west that will not be named. But or maybe I'll name them later on. I don't know. We'll see. But this so-called, you know, marketer of self-published works gave me a phone call, left me a message, and I never answer my phone when an unknown number comes up. I just don't. I mean, in the age of telemarketing and just random calls and people trying to scam you, I just don't do it. So I get this call, person leaves me a voicemail, so I'm intrigued. So I check my voicemail, and it's like a 45-second voicemail, and it says something along the lines of, hey, this is yada, 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 I'm with blah, blah, blah publishing. And I, you know, we found your book online. We read through the synopsis. We're very interested in you. Would love to hear from you about anything regarding your book. And if there's any way we could help you market your book. You've also been tagged as a potential movie option. Yes, a potential movie option. And we'd love to get in touch with you, Mr. Felto. You know, here's our number. Please give me a call back at this extension. Would love to chat with you. Goodbye. Now, I hear this message, and my first thought is, how did this person get my cell phone number? That was my first thought, okay? And granted, this is the age of the internet, and people can find you pretty easily. But getting my cell phone number, I think, was a pretty interesting little trick. So I was skeptical at first, and then the second thing was the moment she started saying things like, your book was tagged as a potential movie book. Now, this is talking about my book, The Road to Mars, okay? For anyone that is not up to speed with my podcast, I wrote a science fiction book called The Road to Mars a couple years ago. I'm doing the sequel this year called The Shadow of Mars. So this is a pretty big investment for me as a writer. When someone calls me out of the blue and says, hey, we read parts of your book, we're interested in you, we want to help you out, that's kind of the big red flag. I want to make this as clear as I can without sounding like, you know, negative Nancy or Debbie Downer or any of those things, because one of the big lessons I've learned as an entrepreneur, as a creative, as someone that is doing something outside the box of what may be considered more routine work, or, and I don't even want to call it routine work, but the things that may interest you that you don't know if they can make you money or not, which I've talked about in other podcasts. So writing is one of my passion projects. And the thing I've had to become incredibly, increasingly aware of is that when someone else hears that you have a passion project, and if they're the type of person to take advantage of others, they will do it. I mean, it's like blood in the water is what it is. And I wanted to think of a really good metaphor for this, because I think Hemingway was the one who said that you sit at a typewriter and bleed, and that's how you write books. Well, the same is true for the sharks of the sea when it comes to your writing. I mean, it's almost like tossing chum into the open ocean and watching all the predators show up, you know, ready to feed off of your ideas. And that's kind of how it is at times. And my gut check moment was for a second there after I got off this voicemail, I started thinking to myself, is this person legit? Because I really wanted them to be. I really wanted them to be. And I have to be honest about that. I was so pumped that this person was going to be on my side. Because after dealing with publishers that really had no interest in pushing my material and being interested in building a platform with me. They really just wanted my money up front so that they could get paid. And then whatever I did with my book afterwards, they could not have cared less what happened to me afterwards. I could fall into the abyss, the black hole of self-publishing death, as it were, on the internet, highways and byways. You know, I didn't want to go through that again. But there was a small inkling of me that wanted it to be true, that wanted this person to be legit. And I'll be very transparent about that I wanted it to be a real, you know, life scenario, because I think that the unrealistic expectation is to think that I've worked so hard on something, I know something's going to break for me, and having a person call me out of the blue to want to help me out is like God's way of saying, yes, I've sent you someone. This is the helper. This is the person that's finally going to get you out of that creative gutter that you're in, that you just can't get out of on your own, of your own self-will and self-determination. This is going to be that landmark moment that you've been waiting for. And all these emotions start, you know, just kind of rushing over me, you know, in this one voicemail, in this, you know, 45 seconds of telling me that I'm the, you know, the bee's knees and I'm all these things. And then all of a sudden, this incredible wave of, I don't want to say it's reality, but just experience and wisdom comes flooding in and just says, whoa. And it doesn't say, hey, think about what happened last time. Instead, what it says is, what do you know about people, Josh? Okay, what do you know about individuals that do things like this? And immediately I was kind of forced to play the devil's advocate and say, well, yes, I do know about people like this. And people are always looking to make a couple fast bucks, if they can, off of somebody else's dreams and somebody else's passions. But why? Okay. Maybe I shouldn't get into the why first. I should probably explain the kind of the wisdom aspect of that, because I've been through that before, and I know it probably won't be the last time either, that someone comes a calling out of nowhere that I don't have any ties with, I don't have any prior relationship, and says, yes, I will help you. I will help you get to where you want to go. I can do it. Trust me. All the roads are gold. All right? We're going to go there. And you have to have the discernment to say, wait a second, why are you so interested in me? You know, why are you so interested in the things that I have to say or the things that I want to do? So I want to take it from there and bring up a couple of things, because there's a reason why people do this. There's a reason why they're scam artists. Okay, there's a reason why there's people out there that will do things like this. And we don't live, I think the wrong thing to do is to live in with a bit of a worldview that says everybody has their best intentions out for me. I think it's a very adolescent way to look at the world. Okay, because when you're young, when you're a kid, you kind of assume every person that you run into that's bigger than you has your best intentions in mind, right? That's just kind of the way we grow up. We have this kind of eyes wide open, trusting smile. If mom and dad are any bit of a parent worth their weight in salt, they've given us this impression that adults can be trusted. People with authority can be trusted. People with influence can be trusted, right? And one of the things that I learned growing up was that there were certain authority figures that I could discern and say, this person really is looking out for me. Okay. Granted, I had two amazing parents that were able to instill that a bit of discernment in me, but I was able to kind of find people that I knew that were ahead of me in life that were also kind of looking out for me and my best interests. They were willing to invest in me. When you get out there, though, you know, this is going back to my 20s, and you know, even now, like I said, this won't be the last time that someone tries to scam me with something. There are people out there, your peers, okay, people ahead of you in life, people behind you in life, that are looking at you and they're looking for weaknesses. And again, I don't want this to be taken out of context, and someone to walk away from the writer's lens and go, man, that guy's so cynical, he's such a pessimist. My gosh, don't listen to anything he has to say, okay, when it comes to your dreams and your passions. No, listen to the full story. Listen to everything I have to say on this, because this is important. When it comes to your passions and your dreams, these are things you're willing to do just about anything to make them happen, right? Okay, if there's something that you're very much invested in your mind, in your heart, that you desire, okay, that you're willing to do more for it than you normally would for anything else. You know, like I think about my own kids. I think about my spouse, my wife, Ashley. Certain things I would be willing to do for them that I would not do for the stranger. And, you know, I guess that's the whole existential thing there that I could get into about compassion. But for the sake of this argument, there are things that I'm willing to do for them that I would not do for someone that I just don't know. Okay, that I just, another person that I just don't know. And it's because of the investment I've made in them and you know, how much I care about them and I love them. And I don't want anything, you know, like it's more than I don't want anything to happen to them. It's about the investment of the connection that I have to them and the good things I want to see come out of them, right? And it's the same can be said for your passion project. There's a lot of good you want to come out of your passion project, out of your dreams or good things. Okay, that's why they're not nightmares, right? Like nobody's chasing their nightmares. Like I want these to come true, all right? Like, oh, you know, that nightmare that I had, I want that to happen. Okay, that's just, no, I don't think that any rational or logical person is trying to chase their nightmares. They're chasing their dreams. So this is important to know, because when you know that you're willing to go to the ends of the earth or willing to do something incredibly ridiculous for the sake of this passion or this desire, be very cognizant of the fact that other people are watching you and they're seeing that you are willing to do these things. And they are willing to take advantage of that. They're willing to take advantage of that because where there's money, where there's resources to be found, a person who's chasing a passion, chasing an interest, a hobby, or a dream, they are willing to throw that caution to the wind and give it to anybody that wants to be on their side, that wants to be, you know, coming up beside them and helping them get to this dream or achieve this passion faster or quicker or without them having to do it all by themselves. So I say that now as someone that, again, who's been, you know, I've been in the self-publishing sphere now for, you know, just about 6 years, and I've seen it, you know, I've seen it happen, and I've heard people tell me horror stories about just, you know, publishing companies that took advantage of them, or marketing platforms, or blog assistants, or just people out there looking to make a quick buck at your expense to try and make your dreams come alive. Because like I said, when you have a little bit of resource, when you have a little bit of money behind something, people will gravitate to that. I mean, there's actually a term for this. I mean, it's kind of like, I heard this on a podcast once about how, you know, like large stars, because of their magnetism, will actually pull other entities into them because they're shining so brightly. And they have this energy that is basically pulling things into them that are smaller, lesser, weaker stars. It just happens over time. And if you're someone who's beaming with passion and beaming with desire, other people are going to recognize that and they're going to be drawn towards you. Now, the question is, do they really have your best interests or not? And that's something that every creative needs to be asking themselves when these kinds of things come up. Because it was a major gut check for me. I mean, I'll be completely honest about that. That was a major gut check for me because it hasn't happened in a while, because I've been laying low for about the last, I would say, 9 to 10 months. I've been really laying low as far as, you know, trying to get my book out and trying to get more people to know about what I'm doing for my next creative venture. But this was one of those moments where I came full circle. It was like, okay, this is stupid. I don't think this person's really, how could they have ever found me? Wait a minute, what if they really are interested in my stuff? How they find me, my blog, my podcast, I don't know. And then, of course, coming back down off of that mountaintop of sort of naive expectation was, look, no. And the last part of that too, that I think is really important, not just the no part of that, you know, coming off the mountain, coming out of the clouds, is when it comes to achieving our dreams and our passions and pursuing them, I really think that there is something to timing and cultivating something that is not just on our terms, but on God's terms. Because, and I want to be very clear about this too, because when I was in my 20s, I really thought I was always running out of time to be a writer. And in some ways, I still feel that way, you know, a little bit, even though time is, you know, I guess is a relative concept to a lot of people. But I remember always feeling like I didn't have enough time to do my passion project, you know, to write that story, to come up with that novel that I'd always wanted to do. But if I rushed it, if I didn't take the time to really figure out what it was I wanted to do with whatever my passion was to write about, then I'd probably do something, you know, half-hearted and without the best parts of me in it, I guess is the best way to put it. And years ago when I was self-publishing books and I did the Epiphanies Theories and Downright Good Thoughts satires, I had every thought that my rush job was just going to succeed because it came so naturally. And because I had just pumped something out and I thought it was funny and I knew it was humorous and people were going to laugh and they were going to be like, oh, look at him, he's such a great writer. And I found it to be a very self-absorbed venture that ultimately was very isolating and very lonely. And a lot of that was because the time that I spent on it was ultimately a lot for myself. And the end result was about me. I mean, it was really about me. So there's something to be said for, I think, the dreams that we have that we want to make a reality of that involve more than just ourselves. And if it is a good dream, if it is a good passion project, it's going to involve a lot of people. And I think that, too, is why we're so quick to throw caution to the wind when someone says, hey, I really want to help you get to the next step of your dream. Hey, I really want to help you get to the next step of whatever passion project that you're working on. You know, just let me into your world. I'll help you get there. We don't want to go it completely alone. We just don't. I mean, we're social creatures, okay? We love interlinking with others and making things happen, being part of a movement or something bigger than ourselves. And that something that's bigger than ourselves can involve a lot of people. And having some kind of knowledge of that or understanding as you go forward in whatever creative venture you have is paramount. I think it's absolutely paramount to know that, is that, you know, no one gets to the top all by themselves. There are a lot of helpers, a lot of helping hands that will go into it. But again, you have to be extremely discerning in what hands you allow to enter into that pot and help you stir and create something and really move forward in whatever it is that you're doing. Because like I said before, there are sharks out there. There are people out there who are so willing and happy to just jump alongside you and take advantage of you. It will happen. It does and can happen. I've heard enough stories of it now. You know, I'm only 33, but I've heard enough of it to know that it does happen. And again, like I said, for me to kind of wrap this thing up, it was another gut check for me listening to this voice message and going from real low in the valley to up top and then coming back down again and kind of leveling out and going, whoa, 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 you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. And in some sense, it was a good reminder that, hey, you're not done yet. You know, you're not done with this next book. You need to focus on that and you know, just maintain the course that you started so long ago. Bring it to completion in a sense. So anyway, I wanted to get that out, guys. As the week heads on here in the first week in April of 2018. I've been trying to do episodes once a week, but we're going to see how that goes going forward because as the weather gets nicer and everything else. So again, thanks so much for tuning in, guys. I hope you're really enjoying these episodes here on The Writer's Lens, and I'll be back again soon. All right, thanks.